doesn't.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News, radio news about radio waves, radio art, and more. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, and we'll travel across the ether to hear what's going on in radio news. First, the headlines. John Egerton reports at Broadcasting and Cable that FCC General Manager John Wilkins proposed a $530 million budget on Capitol Hill this week. The March 4th hearing at the House Energy and Commerce Committee revealed the FCC's fiscal year 2016 budget. Republican members on the committee lashed out at Title II, the net neutrality rule passed by the FCC last week. The FCC's budget is a $59 million increase from fiscal year 2015. The FCC is scheduled to work with incentive auctions, IP transitions, merger reviews, and other reform issues next year, which is the reason for the increase in the budget. You can go to broadcastingandcable.com for more information. The National Association for Amateur Radio reports that the FCC is taking comments by April 6th on a proceeding that could lead to expanded spectrum for various radar applications in the 76 to 81 gigahertz band, which amateur radio uses with other services. Amateur radio is usually on the 77.5 to 78 gigahertz band, which is also used by radio astronomy and space research on a secondary basis. The FCC's notice of proposed rulemaking is docket number 1526. The FCC is seeking comments on, quote, what additional rule modifications we would have to adopt to realize successful shared use of the entire band, unquote. One possibility, the FCC said, was altering current amateur power limits in that portion of the spectrum. The commission also said it wants to, quote, develop a record on the types of amateur use and the extent of such use that is currently undertaken at the 4 millimeters band. Anybody can comment at docket number 15.26, on the FCC's website. Amateur radio is a main feature in the movie Frequency, released in the year 2000, starring Dennis Quaid as a New York City fireman who uses a ham radio link with his son 30 years in the future. Now the Hollywood Reporter says that ABC is considering launching a network television version of the movie. Katrina Tulloch at Syracuse.com reports that near Albany, New York, radio station WQSH 105.7 FM switched formats last week from Pop Crush 105.7 to Santa 105.7 FM, playing Christmas music all year round. Quote, this might strike some as being risky in this environment of new media, but I've looked at the numbers and they don't lie, unquote, said Jake Demon, the president of Town Square Media and owner of the radio station. Quote, there's literally a clamoring for Christmas music 24/7, 365/52. You can see that full story at Syracuse.com. TheNation.com reports that American military personnel who operate radio-controlled drones are quitting in record numbers. Currently, there are about 1,000 such drone pilots, known as 18Xs, working in the U.S. Air Force today. Another 180 pilots graduate annually from a training program that takes place in New Mexico and Texas. In the last 12 months, though, 240 trained pilots have quit, and the Air Force is at a loss to explain the phenomena. On January 4th, 2015, the Daily Beast reported an internal memo to Air Force Chief of Staff General Mark Welsh from General Herbert Hawk Carlisle that said that pilot, quote, outflow increases will damage the readiness and combat capability of the MQ-19 Predator and Reaper drone enterprise for years to come, unquote, and added that he, quote, extremely concerned, unquote. Secretary of the Air Force Deborah Lee James also said this, quote, this is a force that is under significant stress from what is an unrelenting pace of operations, unquote. That's the Air Force's explanation, that the pilots are merely overworked. Now let's get to some more in-depth radio news. The opposition to net neutrality, which was passed on a 3-2 party line vote February 26th at the Federal Communications Commission, reacted strangely to the news that there would be no fast lane for corporations who have more resources than the average consumer. Republican Commissioner Ajit Pai chose to quote a character from Star Wars to illustrate his opinion. Did he choose the heroic Luke Skywalker, the swashbuckling Han Solo, or the thoughtful Obi-Wan Kenobi? No, he picked a quote from Emperor Palpatine.
Yang Fu, only now, at the end, do you understand?
That's from the end of Return of the Jedi, just before Palpatine attempts to kill Luke Skywalker. A strange choice for a, quote, buttressing a political position. Evan Greer, campaigns director for Fight for the Future, retorted with his own adapted Star Wars quote. Quote, what they didn't know is that when they struck down the last rules, we would come back more powerful than they could possibly imagine, unquote. Verizon, the phone company unhappy with the idea of net neutrality, also had a strange response to the FCC's action last week. They released a press release in Morse code, saying the ruling was rolling back the clock to 1934. But just because multinational corporations are tapping out dots and dashes does not mean that the internet will be free forever. Next week, Congress will consider the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which may include jail terms for downloading TV shows. We can't say for sure because the TPP is being secretly negotiated. The White House is claiming the trade agreement is, quote, the most progressive trade agreement the world has ever seen, unquote. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren disagrees, saying, quote, this enormous new treaty would tilt the playing field in the United States further in favor of big multinational corporations. Worse, it would undermine U.S. sovereignty, unquote. Fight for the Future, the Open Internet Advocacy Group, has criticized the proposed trade agreement as a plot that, quote, would force SOPA-like internet censorship on the world, unquote. So if the TPP passes, perhaps this quote from Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars might be appropriate.
Are you all right? What's wrong?
I felt a great disturbance in the Force, as if millions of voices suddenly cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced.
While the costs of storing electronic data and sharing that with the public continue to drop with technological innovations, many governments across the United States continue to delete emails as soon as they can. In New York, where Governor Andrew Cuomo was elected on the pledge to lead the most transparent administration in state history, there is a policy in place to delete emails after 3 months. Quote, it's like something out of Mission Impossible. This email will self-destruct in 90 days. This is the type of stuff that happens in a dictatorship, unquote, said Steve McLaughlin, a Republican assembly member in New York, in a tweet. The Sunlight Foundation, a nonpartisan nonprofit that advocates for open government, points out several other examples. Ferguson, Missouri officials determined that emails related to Officer Darren Wilson's case didn't serve, quote, the public interest, unquote, and therefore would only be available at a prohibitive cost. Broward County, Florida officials are charging journalists $132,348 to provide emails associated with foreclosure cases. Pennsylvania state agency officials are using personal discretion about which emails to keep after only 5 days, a policy which led to the governor's special advisor on education having only 5 traceable emails after working for the state for a year. Why is this important? In the Los Angeles Unified School District, officials are now increasing their email destruction after older emails revealed the closeness of officials' relationships with potential district vendors. If these public records are not available for journalists and members of the public to request, then public documents about important governance issues are being hidden from the public. In the pre-digital age, paper records could be found in file cabinets. Now some emails public employees write are about the latest cat video on the internet or requests from lobbyists for policy changes. Often both are thrown out quickly, when the latter should be stored for later review. The Sunlight Foundation finds this worrisome. Quote, both in the federal government and in state and local governments across the nation, the most common method presently used to archive electronic records allows public employees to decide which individual emails they would identify as, quote, public records, unquote. Other observers of the government IT have noted that this approach to email retention practically works against the robust protection of public records, unquote. Even more troubling, some government bodies aren't keeping any email records at all. California's Tri-City Healthcare District has no general email retention requirement, according to Sunlight Foundation. And on March 3rd, the New York Times reported that Hillary Rodham Clinton exclusively used a personal email account to conduct government business as Secretary of State, avoiding any future inquiries. Clinton may have violated federal requirements that officials' correspondence be retained as part of the agency's records, according to the paper. Internet providers were expected to sue the Federal Communications Commission over the agency's net neutrality rules, which passed last week. But now the Washington Post is reporting that many have other battles to fight. AT&T wants the FCC and the Justice Department approval for its $49 billion merger with DirecTV. Verizon has proposed a deal with Frontier Communication that also needs federal approval. And Comcast is seeking approval from many government agencies for a $45 billion merger with Time Warner Cable. Quote, optically, it looks bad for Comcast to say, we don't agree with whatever the FCC is doing, but, oh, you need to approve our merger, one anonymous industry analyst told The Post. But optics aren't usually a problem for cable television companies such as Time Warner, one of the cable giants that are now key players in the internet access nationwide. Bruce Kushnick of the New Networks Institute, consumer advocacy group, told Capital New York that the industry has a tradition of charging more with imaginary fees. He points to Time Warner bills with charges for, quote, a broadcast TV fee, unquote, or a, quote, public access fee, unquote, and a, quote, regulatory recovery fee, unquote. Quote, made up garbage, unquote, says Kushnick, not required by any government regulation or tax rule. Already New York State has delayed its decision on the Comcast-Time Warner merger 5 times, perhaps waiting for the feds to move first. The FCC won't decide the issue until at least March 30th, and then the Justice Department weighs in on the proposed merger of the two least popular companies in America, according to the University of Michigan American Consumer Satisfaction Index. Remember the recording of the phone call between customer Ryan Block and a belligerent Comcast service representative that went viral last summer?
We'd like to disconnect. We'd like to disconnect, please.
Okay, so why is it that you don't want the faster speed? Help me understand why you don't want faster internet.
Help me understand why you can't just disconnect us.
Because my job is to have a conversation with you about keeping your service, about finding out why it is that you're looking to cancel the service.
I don't understand.
If you don't want to talk to me, you can definitely go into the Comcast store and disconnect your service there. Okay.
You're just asking for you to...
Kill two birds with one stone. You got to return that cable card to the store anyways.
We're actually going to just mail the cable card in, but if you can just please cancel our service, that would be great. That is all we want.
We're actually not able to return a cable card by mail.
Then I will send someone like a TaskRabbit to go return the cable card for us. I don't personally intend to go return the cable card. That's why we're probably not going to be canceling in store. So that's why I need you to cancel by phone. So can you cancel us by phone? The answer is yes, correct?
It sounds like you don't want to go over this information with me. I mean, if you're not wanting to go over that information, okay, then that's the easiest way to get your account disconnected.
I am declining to state why we are leaving Comcast because I don't owe you an explanation. So if you can please proceed to the next question. If you have to fill out your form, that's fine. Please proceed to the next question, and we'll attempt to answer that if possible.
Being that we are the number one provider of internet and TV service in the entire country. Okay. Why is it that you're not wanting to have the number one rated internet service, number one rated TV service available?
I'm declining to state we're switching providers. Can you please go to the next question?
Okay. So what is it about its town that's making you want to change to them?
I'm declining to state. Can you please go to the next question so we can cancel our service?
It goes on and on from there. Customers with only a cable option for internet service and others who want to spend less might have a new alternative soon for internet service. Slate reports Google confirmed this week that the company will announce a wireless service of its own soon. They won't hang their own antenna on towers around the country, but partner with Verizon and AT&T's smaller rivals Sprint and T-Mobile. The Slate writer, Will Armus, thinks it will be, quote, a Wi-Fi first service that could deliver adequate, if slightly spotty, coverage at a fraction of the prevailing cost, unquote. It would focus on data coverage more than phone and text, since anyone can use many web apps such as Skype, FaceTime, iMessage, WhatsApp, or Facebook Messenger over a data plan for those features. Politico and other media outlets announced this week that it was news that Edward Snowden wanted to return home to America and that he was willing to face a trial for leaking government documents if it could be a fair trial. This was not actually news at all, as Snowden has maintained that position since becoming a public figure after the leaks were first revealed. Glenn Greenwald at The Intercept outlines exactly how wrong those news stories were. He reports in January 2014, the AP reported that Snowden's in a public chat, quote, returning to the U.S., I think, is the best resolution for the government, the public, and myself, unquote. In a May 2014 interview with NBC News, Snowden said, quote, I don't think there's ever been any question that I'd like to go home, unquote. So journalists don't know how to use Google or LexisNexis? Hardly. This reporting of news that is not news clearly shows a prevailing narrative that the mainstream media wants to report. Marcy Wheeler at Slate is one of the few reporters this week comparing the leaks of public information to the public by Snowden and Chelsea Manning to the leak by former CIA Director David Petraeus and the clearly unsafe actions taken by former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Anyone can argue Snowden was right or wrong for leaking government secrets about how the government secretly spies on its own citizens, but clearly both leaked the documents because they thought it was their public responsibility. So far, neither has gained much by leaking the documents. Manning is in jail, and Snowden is stuck in Russia, a purgatory of sorts. Petraeus leaked to his mistress and biographer the identities of covert officers, code-protected programs, conversations he had with the president, and other national security secrets. At one time, he was considered a possible presidential candidate, and a glowing biography was surely in his personal interest. He stored the material in an unlocked desk drawer in his study. Is he going to jail like Manning? The New York Times reports that March 3rd, quote, Petraeus has agreed to plead guilty to one count of unauthorized removal and retention of classified material, a misdemeanor. He is eligible for up to 1 year in prison, but prosecutors will recommend a sentence of probation for 2 years and a $40,000 fine, unquote. Hillary Clinton seems to have left secrets in a virtual unlocked drawer. The Associated Press reported that Clinton, the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, had set up her own private email server at the family's home in Chappaqua, New York, a server that is probably not as secure as one the State Department would have set up for her. Clinton probably won't spend any time in jail either, and instead might be the next president. Finally, on This Week in Radio News, the jury in the copyright case of the song Blurred Lines will decide the issue if Robin Thicke and Farrell stole from Marvin Gaye's Got to Give It Up. Let's listen to a bit of each song.
get a...
expected to come out with a verdict after a week-long trial last week in Los Angeles. But Marvin Gaye's had a history of having his songs swiped. Here is Marvin Gaye's Hitchhike from the 60s.
I'm going to Chicago. That's the last place my baby stays.
Now listen to the Velvet Underground's There She Goes Again, released a few years later.
There she goes again.
This has been the Week in radio news about radio waves. I'm Tom Rowe from Wave Farm in upstate New York reporting.